Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening, everyone, and thank you for tuning in again to another episode of The Real Talk with Chris Richardson Show. I want to say welcome back to many of you who are joining us, who are repeated tribe visitors. If you're just tuning in for the very first time, I certainly want to welcome you all to the show. You are in for certainly a treat. I hope that you will find that this show is a little bit different than some of the other formats. We don't take any commercial breaks. I don't play a whole lot of music or anything like that. This is just a straight dialogue. And the purpose of that is so that, really, we can help each other understand that when you are better, we are better. That means you can be a better father, better wife, better husband, better mother, better aunt, better sister, you name it. So it begins with you, and it ends with you. So if you aren't willing to change, neither will your circumstances. So tonight, I am joined by my co-host tonight who's running with me, and we are going to have a wonderful time with none other than Toy, Ignite Your Life Parker.
Hi, hello. Good morning, good evening, or good afternoon, depending on where you are around the world.
Absolutely. Hey, Toy, this conversation is one that, you know, if I were going to, you know, ride solo with anybody in the car, I would certainly know that you can handle this conversation on difficult conversations. Some people call it conflict resolution. Some people refer to it as courageous conversation.
That's what I refer to it as with my group, yeah.
So it's all about that. So we want to kind of give our listeners, let our mm-hmm. listeners in with a little bit of dialogue on maybe how you and I, you know, share the road here or share the pool or share mm-hmm. ideas and thoughts.
Sure.
That can help them have better conversations, better dialogue, better discussions, and minimize the actual silence, fight or flight. We'll talk a little bit more about fight or flight here in a little bit. So when you think about mm-hmm. courageous conversations or difficult conversations, Toy, what does that mm-hmm. mean to you?
Well, it's an overcoming of whatever fear-based block that you have in regard to that conversation. Because the reason why a person would delay or postpone or procrastinate on a conversation is usually fear-based, which is not even of God anyway, because fear is not of God, because fear has torment. So really, in essence, you're torturing yourself before the conversation happens without walking in faith. And that courage is why I call it hashtag courageous conversations, because it takes courage to push through that fear, that doubt, that worry, that anxiety to get to the other side, which is the actual conversation, so that you can have your breakthrough in that moment of that conversation with that person about whatever it is. Sometimes it's us. Sometimes it's the other person's personality. A myriad of dimensions or scenarios that happen with that, but ultimately it's overcoming a fear.
Yeah, I agree with what you said wholeheartedly, and I think for the listeners, I think what's really key is to understand that it takes courage to conquer your fears.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that's really important to know. What you won't face, you'll never confront. What you won't confront,
that's
you'll
right.
never conquer.
That's right.
So you have to be willing to say, you know, hey, this is only going to make me better. It's not designed to make me bitter. Now, here's mm-hmm. the key to this, though. When you walk in, you've got to have, when you're going into difficult conversations, you've got to have an open mind. Try
that's
being
right.
as open as you can to the discussion. And like, Toy, you hit it right on the head where you kind of let some of this out early on, that we, a lot of times, we have these preconceived ideas of what the other person is thinking when those
mm-hmm.
are based on perception, not based on
mm-hmm.
reality or based on facts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you have a conversation in your head that's saying this is how it should go, or the fear is propelling you to say this is how it shouldn't go. And so what happens is oftentimes, Toy, we find ourselves We self-sabotage a lot of the conversations because we've made it
yeah.
so much more than what it is. And then I've had
mm-hmm.
some conversations before, and it wasn't even as bad as I made it to be. But the conversation in my head put enough fear in me to limit my actions and my choices.
Mm-hmm. And then, and even in that, there's a way to have that conversation, because you can be, you know, strong and very courageous and be out of order in the manner in which you express it, because you don't have what we'll probably, you know, we'll get into later, I'm pretty sure, the emotional intelligence to convey what it is that you are feeling or what it is that you are trying to get across of your being courageous in that conversation. So a lot of times, you know, we need to, that's why God gives us two ears, one mouth. We're supposed to, you know, think before we speak. But a lot of times we get caught up in, okay, I'm trying to overcome the fear, but in overcoming the fear, we forget to tap into the emotional intelligence aspect of that communication, because there, you know, there's so many aspects of communication. There's the receiving, there's the listening, there's the processing, all of that. But there, it needs to be in harmony within ourselves first before it actually comes out, or else it's just going to be like a pressure cooker, and then whatever comes out just comes out. And that's when it becomes detrimental to the other party, because you it's not about walking on eggshells at all, because some people say, well, you know, sometimes I just don't want to say a certain thing, or and then sometimes it's you're afraid you'll lose the person if you share whatever it is that you have to share. Well, you know, that's just the risk that you take. But if you're careful in the way in which you communicate with that person, because you know that person, that's why you're so, you have so much anxiety about it, because you know that person, and you're for whatever reason you have that fear. But the way to overcome that is through, you know, of course, prayer. I mean, I personally pray before I have a courageous conversation, because I ask God to give me the words, the wisdom, you know, help me to speak in wisdom. If it's, you know, the guy that I'm, you know, with, I ask God to help me win him with my conversation, as you would a Proverbs 31 woman, because that's the charge that we have to win our mate with our conversation, so that we don't have them up on a rooftop not wanting to talk to us. You know, because, again, that goes with that emotional intelligence, the ability to convey what it is that you're trying to convey in that moment of courage, because a lot happens in that moment of courage. You know, a lot of us, you know, we can ignite our lives, but we can ignite our lives with wisdom so that we can effectively communicate. I always say that communication is the key to happiness, but I have kind of augmented that to effective communication is the key to happiness. Because everybody can communicate, but everybody isn't effective while doing it. And sometimes it does not necessarily go as well because of that reason.
I like that, and that's true. We learned that communication is one of those things that's, we got verbal, we got nonverbal communication. And when we put all that together and we've got this, you know, emotions that run high, it can be very explosive at the wrong time. So I think a lot of people, the intent is that they, in many cases, mean well. I don't think a lot of times they come out to be malicious in their discussion.
Right.
But we find that a lot of times we don't do our discovery. So what we have to do is when you're having a courageous conversation, crucial conversation, difficult conversation, whatever you want to label it as, what you have to do is you've got to assess. Stop, look, and listen. Stop, look, and listen. Stop and look at what's going on, okay? Not only what's going on outside you, what's going on inside you, okay? So let's unpack that for a moment. Oftentimes, if I feel that I am approaching a situation, I've got, you're talking about emotional intelligence. Well, we're dealing with self-awareness and self-management. So what that means is I have to understand, what am I bringing to the table? If I'm already on a scale of 1 to 10, a 9 before we get there, maybe now's not the best time for me to approach the conversation, because I'm already noticing that there's some triggers going off inside me. My body's starting to tell me I've got a higher level of anxiety, my blood pressure is going up, or I'm feeling a certain way, I'm getting jittery. You got to pay attention to your body. That's internally. Now, externally, what's happening around in your environment? Okay, when you're looking at your environment, you got to know, am I safe? Okay?
Right.
So am I safe to share and my thoughts, my ideas, my facts, do I feel threatened that if I share, that's where I've got to walk on these eggshells that Toy talked about, that's when it's going to be a combative discussion, that's when it's going to lead to fight or flight and the violence. Now, it's simple. Fight or flight, it's either fear, it's both are fear-based, right? So Fear says one thing to one person that says, look, I'm going to fight. I'm going to defend my honor. You're not going to insult me. I'm going to defend my dignity. And so how dare you tell me or disrespect me? That's fight. Flight just says, you know what, I'm done. I'm out. I don't want to bother with it. You know, it's over, and I'm withdrawn. Silence is not, they say silence is golden. Silence is not. Silence can also be deadly.
No.
So you got to check to see what's going on. So I said, stop, look around, and listen. Listen to your vital signs. You know, check and see what's happening with the other person as well. And what you want to do is create what they we call a safe environment to share the data. Okay?
Exactly. And then on top of that, you know, I want to add to that, when you are having that dialogue, you know, go back to the basics, the I feel statement, so that they're not coming off accusatory, or when this happens, I feel this way, or if it's, you know, wanting to confront them about something, I do what's called a sandwich. I talk about, you know, really great things that I really love about that person, and then I'll kind of put the meat in there, and then I'll end it with, you know, but know that these are just things that I have happened to notice, and I think that we could definitely work on together, because usually, even if it's something that you think is a fault of the other person, because relationships are interpersonal, there is a responsibility and accountability on the other party as well, especially in relationships. Like, what can I do to help make this better? You know, what? How? Mm-hmm. Help me, help us. So, granted, I don't like it when you do X, but am I doing Y, which is causing X? You know, what factor am I creating in the midst of this? Is my action causing your reaction or your non-action? You know, I know for me, I'm an alpha female, so I have to pull the reins on myself quite often. I don't mean to come off pushy, but sometimes I can. But fortunately, I have a patient mate who understands that it's not intentional, and he knows when to just say that's just toy, or, you know, well, you know, or just go ahead and address whatever it is that my needs are. And he's really great at anticipating my needs before I even ask, which is totally amazing, very attentive. But that's what I need. But God knows what I need. I need someone who's like that so that I don't have to feel like, because I'm so used to driving a ship or steering everything, I'm used to managing everything, house, business, management, you know, just everything. And so for once, I can kind of just follow as opposed to leading. And it has taken a little bit of a transition for me to even just be in that space. But in the midst of that, you know, we had those conversations. He asked me, why do you think that you're like that? Why do you think that is? And see, when you have those type of conversations, he created, right with that maturity, he created a safe place for me to even talk about why that happens, you know. And it helps me to be more mindful. He helps me to be more mindful. So I make sure that I don't come off that way, you know. And even with, you know, I tell him, like, just for an example, just using myself as an example. But a lot of women, we nag and we don't know it. So I am just really big on telling them, you know, I don't want to come off nagging. You're a grown man, you know. But I do want to encourage you, but in the same breath, I want to encourage you. And he's like, oh, I like it when you push me, and that's great. So I ask God. That's where I have to go to God, because he knows him better than even I. I'm still continuously, you know, it's a process of knowing a person. So I go to God who created him, and I say, well, God, give me the wisdom to share in a way that is encouraging, that is not, you know, nagging, but helping him to push him in the right direction and helping him to be a better him the way he helps me to be a better me. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I like that. That's important that you're going to God and you're praying for wisdom. When you're going to have courageous conversations, you're going to need a lot of wisdom as how you approach it. And what you've got to do is realize that, you know, every one of us has history that we come with. Every one of us has some, you know, some level of challenge, some level of baggage, some level of dysfunction that we all come from. We know that. So what's important is to focus. Don't let your problems sabotage your purpose.
Right.
So what you got to understand, Toy, I really want the listeners to understand this, is that it's important is to focus on why are we having the conversation, right? What's the purpose of the conversation? What's the direction that we hope to get out of the conversation? So if we can focus on purpose, right, then we can focus on the promise. So follow where I'm going. So purpose, I'm asking you to seek God through wisdom, knowledge, and get understanding. Understand your purpose, right? Because God's already made you a promise. If this is the man, this is the woman, you all are connected. So now, if we're going to get to the promise, we got to understand the joint purpose, and so that the problem doesn't become bigger than the promise, and we forget about the purpose. So when you get into that conversation, I hope I unpacked that so you can understand it, basically.
You did great. You did it beautifully.
Thank you. Because when you get into that conversation, what's the purpose? Because we've got to now not be problem-focused. We've got to be solution-oriented. So
and
here's the
that's
thing.
That's the key. And thank God that that's how we are. So that's how we work through. And that's how I know, for me, that let me know that I can, if we can make it through courageous conversations and even, you know, difficult things with each other, then we're going to be fine. Because if we can do that, we can do anything. Because that's part, that's like the heartbeat of, you know, any situation, being able to work through, dissect, and still come out with a win-win on the other side.
Yeah, that's the key, and that's where it comes to a level of spiritual maturity and really understanding. Listen, if you're feeling when we went back to the stop, look, and listen, and you're feeling yourself, you know, you've got some triggers or you've got something that you say, you know, people say a lot of times, no, I'm good, I'm all right. Really, stop, look, and listen, and be honest with yourself. Take inventory of your own feelings. It's important. Let me say this. Let me unpack this really for a second here. Feelings are important not to ignore, but you cannot let your feelings lead you. You can't let feelings lead you, because what will happen, they'll con you every time. And so it's important to acknowledge them, because God gave you them, that you have feelings. But when you start letting them be the leader of your life, then now faith takes a back seat. So which, again, if we're going to say, if we are faith-based, and we're going to have this conversation, yet it's critical. It may be a little challenging. But we start off, as Toy said, I feel it's okay. And so what you want to do is lay out your data and say, you know, the data is these are the facts. Toy, if we're driving down the road and it's a one-lane bridge, we've got to take turns, right? So you're going from the opposite direction. You know, it's just, hey, you get there first, and it's like, no, you go, I go. Courageous conversations take a certain level of humility. I'm still growing in that area to have that, and a lot of patience, you know, to have those conversations. But let me kind of let you all into something. Everything doesn't have to be a courageous conversation. Every conversation doesn't have to go to World War III. Some things we always say it's best to be prepared to survive for today, to live for tomorrow.
I agree. And the other thing.
Go ahead.
No, you're good. I'll add later.
Yeah, I'll yield.
Okay. And the other thing, when you're dealing with these conversations, sometimes it's good to do a self inventory before you have that conversation, and be rational. Like, is this really an issue? Sometimes you're trying to have a courageous conversation about something that is really, you're sweating the small stuff, and it's really not that big. So is this something is this something worth even bringing to the table, really? Or is this something that just bothers me right now that I just feel like I just have to get out? Or is it a real issue, you know? People use the word petty like it's just gold nowadays. But some things are just, they're just not, we need to stop majoring on the minor things is what I call it. When I, in my Live Love Daily book that I've written, and I'm doing a revised edition for my Go Where the Love Is Personal and Business Development Empowerment Tour. In it, I'm going to be talking about how a lot of times, and even whether it's relationships or at work, just any place, love life or business, we need to take a step back and see if we're majoring on minor things, because you have to look at the bigger picture, you know, as opposed to that one small detail. Is that one small detail 10 years from now going to matter, 5 years from now going to matter, 1 year from now going to matter, 3 months from now going to matter, a month from now, is it really going to matter? Is it really that deep that you have to, that you even have to address it? Or is it something that is valid that needs to be addressed? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's critical. So I want to kind of back up and set a lot and a little bit of time, and I want to walk this thing through slowly. And I would love for this to be a dialogue discussion with the listeners tonight. Feel free to dial in. The number is 619-924-0869. You can press 1 on the call. You know, state your name, what you're calling, what your question, your comment is to the show. You have 60 seconds. I want to take as many calls tonight as possible. You've got questions about a how-to process on this. This is something that's really, really important to me. This is my focus for 2017, is to really help a lot more people out with relationships in this area of how do you have those critical conversations and come out. And here's the thing I would say. It's not about winning and losing. When you make a numbers game where it's about, look, Toy, we're having this discussion, and today I'm not going to yield. I've got to win, and tomorrow, well, you did this. Now you're really keeping score. And no one wins when you keep score. Everyone loses in that case. So you've got to walk into this saying, listen, I'm a mature, healthy adult, and the other person coming to the side is a mature, healthy adult, too, for giving benefit of doubt. Now, two people coming together don't always agree. But the word says that two or more in agreement, he's in the midst. So what you want to do is, at some point, you've got to go back to your principles of faith. Okay? At some point, now, you got to remember, if you're able to inspect, here's something that was shared this weekend. I went to a leadership retreat, and Delatoro McNeil was speaking, and he said something about the emotions. And he said, expect first, feel second. I said, okay, help me unpack that. Expect first and then feel second. And what he's really saying is this. Expect that God has got a better promise for you, right, in essence. And I'm adding my own little ad-lib to this. Expect that before you go into your feelings, okay? So if you go into the expectation that I'm expecting that out of this I'm growing, that out of this situation I'm getting better, and out of this situation we are becoming one, we are becoming more equipped for kingdom purpose, then feel second. Because if you feel first, then expect later, you're going to miss it, because the feeling is going to always have you, you're going to lose your confidence when you focus on the feeling. Now, Toy and I agreed and stated in there, you would say, I feel. But again, you've got to stop looking, listening. Sometimes you've got to use the self-management process of called breathe. Maybe you take a time out and just say, hey, I need to breathe before I respond.
Yeah.
And that's okay. For me, I slow down my speech because I notice that if I'm starting to feel a certain kind of way, I'll speak slower. Now, here's the thing, little caveat to that. When you do that, make sure to the opposite party that that's not coming across condescending.
Exactly.
So, you know, it's okay to do that, but just understand if you're going to manage these things. And this thing is one of those things where you're dealing with conflict or critical conversations. It's an ongoing thing of growth. But here's the key, though. If you get into a situation where it's a little rough, there's nothing wrong with saying, hey, let's park this right now. Maybe we should come back to this in a day or two.
Yeah.
And you all have to work that out and say, hey, if you're able to do so, then that would be fine. Because there are certain things that if you press the issue, certain things are going to exacerbate the problem even more. Then you'll lose focus on the purpose, and then you'll never reach the promise. I'm going to stay there tonight, Toy. I'm going to go with them three or four P's, and we're going to massage that purpose, promise, and you know, the problem. The problem's always got to be smaller than the promise. But sometimes we make the problem bigger than the promise. And we forgot that God has a purpose for you to begin with. What's the purpose? And if we simply can focus on the purpose, then we start to create a safe environment for discussion. Here's the thing. I always say this in conversations, that it has to be about having a dialogue, not a debate.
Right.
That means if we're sitting up here on this phone toy and we're debating over something, that means you don't see my way and I don't see your way, or it's got to be about right and versus wrong, Democrat versus Republican. We never get a majority meeting of the mind.
Right. Because you're not doing any active listening. Everything is defensive. So you're busy preparing your response before you even hear the information to process. And that's where I wanted to kind of just add to what you're saying there, because that's what you don't want. What you want is to come from a pure heart space and operate from a place of love, which is God, by the way, mind you. So when you're operating in a place of love, you're operating in a very pure space where not only can you give, but you can receive. And love and forgiveness can operate with faith all in one conversation, so that you can actually move and progress through that difficult conversation. Because sometimes, you know, just because it's something that we don't want to hear doesn't mean that it doesn't need to be said. It just means that you just don't want to hear that information, but that doesn't mean that you don't need to receive that information. You need to process that information. But the only way to process that information is if you're operating in a place of love, as opposed to a place where all your walls are up and you can't hear anything. Somebody missed it, but your walls are up so you can't hear any. So because you can't, your perception is blocked. So therefore you can't even hear. Your senses are all distorted. So you're not even able to actively participate in the conversation. You're still on whatever was said 2 minutes ago, and they're on the next part of whatever it is. And you need to be present in each present moment in that conversation. You need to be right there in that present moment. And a lot of times within the same conversation, a lot of times we're lagging behind in the whole conversation because we're really not fully there. We're still on what was said 10 minutes ago, trying to get our response back. Figure out our smart retort. We can't do that. We have to be in a total place of love, a total place of forgiveness, a total place of just pure peace, so that you can have that conversation that needs to be taking place.
That's spot on, Toy. We call that refocusing right there, being in the present, which means you've got to learn how to refocus your brain. And we did this exercise over the weekend, and my wife actually did this exercise with me about it was a piece of paper that had basically, I guess it would be a paragraph. And so the goal was to look at this paragraph and find 22 Bible chapters in it, right? Now, it was a little bit bigger than a paragraph. But so you had to look at it and see if you could find the chapters. Now, when you look at it with the normal lens, it's clear that if it jumps out to you and the word says John or Matthew, that would be normal, right?
Right.
But this required that you had to look at it intrinsically a different way.
Hmm.
So that meant that one word might be combined with another word that followed to make up a word. So that means we were retraining the brain to refocus your lens. Okay, to get a different result. And a lot of times what happens in the conversations is that we're so accustomed to having, we either caught it or we were taught it from the time we were knee-high to a duck. And so we get into adult conversations and the challenges that we have, and we still have certain things that we're just repeating out. I'll give you for instance. So growing up as a kid, for me, this is my childhood, growing up as a kid, my mother was always fussing. Right? Mom's always fussing.
Right.
That was her communication language. She fussed and she cussed, and it was just like, oh, my gosh, I'm so tired of hearing all this. Now, you would say, hey, I didn't come out so bad now. But growing up, oh, no, not in our household. You knew that it was a shoe thrown at you or something like that. I mean, come on now. Come on, somebody. I know I need a little bit of help here on this one. It was something that was there. And so that's how I was treated. So, you know, growing up, you know how you say, okay, when I have children, I'll make sure that I don't do the same things to my children. I want to create an environment that fosters and reciprocates what love is, right? Or a mutual feeling of love without verbal abuse or, you know, with those attacks and using certain words that don't edify, certain words that just that almost demonize. You know, that saying you never this, and you aren't this. You couldn't find it. You know, those are just words that just break a person down and don't build self-esteem. They attack character.
Right.
You never want to get into a conversation with a person where you're going after attacking their character or challenging their witness. And so, if a person feels threatened, that if I can't have this conversation, what I try to do in a lot of my conversations, personally and professionally, as I ask a couple things, I'm going to give you all three things that I've learned. Number one is, what do I really want? Is my question. When I'm having a discussion here, what do I really want? I ask that question. Then I ask, what do I want for them? Okay? So in other words, I'm saying, out of this, what am I looking for, and what do I think that they were looking for? And then I ultimately will say, what do I want for the relationship?
You see?
So everything, if you're asking those questions in the midst of it, what do I want? What do they want? And what do we want for the relationship? Stop and do that next time you get into a critical or difficult conversation and just see if you can come up with lots, because this what this does, Toy, it slows down the emotion of the charge with the emotions and helps to try to bring back a little bit of logic into it. And lastly,
it does.
And lastly, something else I learned. Now, how would I behave if I really wanted these results? See, beliefs and values control behavior. So behavior is all about what you do or what you don't do, speaks to what you believe and what you value. And some of that comes to, you know, internally when you get into conversations, it's how you feel about yourself ultimately that sometimes spews out to others. Okay, so if there's a positive self-image or it's a negative self-image, it can be conveyed in a toxic conversation, okay, in a way that always leads to toxicity within the argument, and a lot of times it comes to how I feel about myself. If I'm feeling guilty, guilt can do it, shame can do it, you know, and that starts to break down the fabric of the relationship because now everything that you do seems like the smallest things are on trial.
Right. And that's where that being hypercritical, you know, part comes in, where that goes back to that heart space, because a lot of times we're only hard on other people because we're that critical of ourselves, because you can't identify something in someone else unless it exists in you. But people don't realize that. So while you're busy, my dad used to put it this way, God rest his soul, he would say, when you're pointing your finger at someone, you have three more pointing back at you, and you do.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to go back to self and say, well, what is this quality within me that I am magnifying about this other person? And, you know, really look at that, you know, because just because you see that as their flaw, and people have their flaws, or they have their, you know, yes, people are critical of other people, but in a conversation, you need to eliminate those criticisms and be able to actually talk to the character. I love what you said about the character of the person, as opposed to, you know, demeaning them or belittling them. You know, if even in the conversation that's courageous about something uncomfortable, you can still edify. There is a way still to do that. There is still a way to edify the other person while you're giving what would normally be called constructive criticism, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's where you have to, but you have to look at yourself first. Even when I'm in the management situation, before I talk, am I leading the charge? Am I leading by example? Am I doing what I'm about to ask them to do? Have I, you know, exemplified the character, the integrity, that I'm about to address to them, right? And mm-hmm. do that mirror check first before you talk to that other person. And a lot of times it will humble you so that you can mm-hmm. come from a purer place. I call it the mirror exercise. You know, just really, before you have a conversation with somebody else, always, always, always have that same conversation with yourself and see how you
right.
feel.
And see how you feel. And then what you ultimately, like I said, Shirk Toy, when we were talking about sharing the bridge earlier, what you're ultimately trying to do is share the pool of shared information.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times
mm-hmm.
it's hard for you. Listen, when you're having a difficult conversation, you want to make sure that you have all the information before you get to a conclusion.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, I work at a bank. So if the bank were to have the bank were to be robbed, the truth mm-hmm. is that, you know, the bank was robbed, but here's the thing. If a witness gives a statement, the bank was robbed by a white male, black male, we should say. But the facts
right.
were the bank was robbed by a white male.
See?
So when we get two different views of things, what we have to do is share the pool so that we can create dialogue, and then we have to decipher and discern the facts from what's fiction.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what you try to do is get the mutual purpose and mutual understanding. So that means the fact we both know is the bank was robbed. That's a fact that we can
right.
agree to.
Right.
But what you saw and what I see depends on the story in your head.
Right.
I think you missed that. It's the story you're telling yourself in your head that
mm-hmm.
that distorts the facts from the fiction.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I call
so
them mini
the
movies.
Question,
I call them
that,
mini movies.
Many
people
movies.
Have mini movies.
Mm-hmm. And that's it. We have mini movies. So what we have to try to do is just step back and just say, hey,
uh-huh.
cool. How do we get to us? How do we share the road here? We're both trying to go in the same direction, or we're both trying to cross this bridge. How do we share the information without hurting one another? Because if we both go at the same time, we're going to have a head-on collision.
Yeah.
And that's what happens within relationships, because oftentimes if you're both trying to speak and over-talk one another, or you're both, you know, being sarcastic towards one another, or sugarcoating certain things, that doesn't create an environment that's safe. And when people don't feel safe, what happens is they withdraw, they become distant,
mm-hmm.
They
mm-hmm.
they get disconnected. It subjects
mm-hmm.
the relationship, the environment, to something totally unnecessarily that doesn't have to happen. So then you have to rebuild trust, and that's a whole different
yeah.
show in itself altogether.
Truly, truly. And it's amazing because I know even for myself, see, I'm an introvert. I'm a reformed extrovert. You know, I tend
mm-hmm.
to be extroverted now in my adult life, you know, but originally I'm an introvert. So I have to be careful because, you know, even with my best friend, she'll say, Toy, I might not even hear from you for like days on end. And she said, I get concerned because you go so far inward, like you just forget about the rest of the world. And she used to get on me. I'm much better about it now. I'll reach out, send us a little flare. I'm alive. I'm here. but even in that communication, that's why it's so important to create those safe spaces, because it reinforces that good behavior of keeping the lines of communication open. Because if
mm-hmm.
you shut a person down, like for me, I'm not like this now. I'll keep trying because I just walk in a place of love more consistently than I ever have before in my life. So as I know, we only get but so many days on this earth, and I look at life differently. I mean, I've lost a lot of people. So for me, every day is a fresh start. Like I hit the reset button with everybody in my life the next day. Like no matter what happened, no matter what you did, it's the next day. So I've set the reset button. That means you get another chance to get it right with me. And that's just
Toy,
something that I've been.
How do you do that, though?
It's hard.
Oh my God. Okay.
So
yeah.
Hard.
Talk through that. Let's not go through that. How do you get a fresh start every day?
It's so hard. So, like, for me, you know, I always say practice makes permanent. So, it has been literally, like, that's what my book is about, Live, Love Daily. Like, that's literally what I have been practicing, I say, for the past three years. And so my process is, you know, the same way we have new mercies every day that God gives us. And I'm like, well, if my logic, you know, it's just not in a book other than my book, but my logic is if God gives us new mercies every day, he gives us a fresh slate every day. We are reborn in him every day. So why should we be so judgmental as to not give our fellow man that same chance? Who are we to be holding a grudge from yesterday over somebody's head? Suppose God did that to us. Suppose God did that to me is the way I look at it. And so in my view of that has helped me just, yeah, I'm not saying it doesn't still bother me a little. You know, I'm not saying that, you know, but when I operate in such a high frequency of love like that, it literally covers a multitude of sins. It literally, I just, it's harder to describe, but it's literally a high frequency of love. Like, love is a very high frequency. I know you've probably seen, like, the different studies and stuff about different emotions and things, the lower frequencies versus the high frequencies. But my intent every day is to operate in as high a frequency as I can, because that keeps me in a place of peace. So I cannot let what bothered me yesterday come into my today. Like, I just cannot, and it just, I refuse to do that, because I feel that person, if I really love them, because love is unconditional, true love is anyway, I mean, everybody still works through their way of love and forgiveness, but for me, I've tried my best to in each moment, let it be a new moment. Like, that moment over there, we're not even there anymore. Like, in my mind, I've trained my mind to say, Toy, you're not even over there anymore. This is a new moment. So this is a new chance. So when I talk to him, even if something, because everybody got something and people do things, you know, that people don't like, you know, husband, wives, mate, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's a new moment. It's a new moment. So I have trained my brain to say it's a new moment. So when he calls, I'm not in yesterday, whatever it was, but I can still in love share how I felt about it. But I can do it in love, because it's a new day. It's a clean slate. It's, okay, well, yes, I didn't necessarily like that. However, I still love you. And because I still love you, I'm still here. And I'm able to operate in that place of love and forgiveness. It's literally a cycle of love and forgiveness, like knowledge. And I have to be really clear about this. I don't ignore how I felt, though, right?
Okay.
So I still acknowledge how I felt. I don't ignore that. And I still address that. But the key is I'm able to address it in a place of love, which is not everybody is able to do, because they still haven't forgiven. They still have resentment. They still are in that yesterday. You see what I'm saying? So when you're in that new place of today is a new day. Today is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. You know, you when you're in that new place of today, it's easier to move through that feeling, to get to the other side of that, to even have the courageous conversation, you know, because you're not in that past moment. You're in a present place. And you're still able to acknowledge it, but you're able to acknowledge it in a healthy way. And that has taken practice.
That's what she's saying. I hear you saying, I hear what you're saying. She's saying, and Darren, I'm coming back to you in a second. She's saying, hey, I hear what you're saying in the conversation, but, you know, again, I'm saying the same thing over and over again, and it becomes, you know, a challenge not to speak from a place of frustration. So how do you not speak from a place of frustration? How do you get to a mental place? What is it that you say? Is it a chant, a kumbaya? What do you say to help this young lady
Seriously.
Out?
Okay, sure. Well, for one, I go back to scripture, and he says, you know, if someone does something 70 times 7, you're still supposed to forgive. That's a lot of times, right? So I use that as my point of reference. And I honestly, I breathe. I do a lot of breathing techniques. I do a lot of, because for me, I have battled anxiety and depression in the past. And that's not something that I really have talked about in a lot of different places, but I have. And because of that, I know for me, I can't let what people do or say or situations take me there. I can't. I cannot afford to, because I operate in a place of joy, but it's pure joy, where it's God's joy, and I choose joy. Like, in each moment, I choose joy. If it's sadness, I'm going to choose joy. If it's anger, I'm going to choose joy. But in order for me to do that, I have to do a lot of, I pray. I do deep breathing exercises to kind of quiet my mind. And then I start thinking more rationally because I'm able to quiet my mind. Because what happens a lot of times when we're angry is one thought after the next, and it goes on a race, and it's like a relay race of thoughts. And then it's a relay race of more thoughts. And then it's a relay race of, okay, but yeah, and I told him that, but I said that already. But, you know, you have to come to a place where you have decided and be intentional about your thoughts and be intentional about your thought process. A lot of people talk about intention, but they don't unpack that. Like, what does that really look like? Okay, you're going to be intentional about the way you think. You're going to be intentional because of the fact that you're intentional about the way you think. You're going to be intentional about what you say and how you say it, regardless, so that you can be consistent in that. Because you can't, you know, it's nice to be, to have it where, you know, okay, I can be forgiving in this moment, but over here, I'm just going to go off on you. Sometimes, you know, going off, it does happen. Does Toy go off on people? Very rarely, but if it does happen, they pretty much know it had to have been warranted, because it takes a lot for me to really go there. But even in that, I haven't done it in a long time, because I've just come to a place where I have practiced not allowing people to take me there. And that takes time, and it takes a lot of self-discipline. That's temperance. See, temperance is power under control. See, anger is power out of control, because there's power even in that anger, but it's out of control, right? So you go back to the scripture. Everything goes back to the scripture. Everything I'm saying is going to always go back to scripture. The fruit of the Spirit is one fruit. There are essences of that fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. Joy, love, peace, temperance, you know, all that, meekness, all of that. The fruit of the Spirit is the key to being, to my ability to do what I am saying that I'm doing. And by no means, you know, is it easy. But what happens is this: because I'm able to quiet myself, because I'm able to exercise power under control, which is temperance, because of that, God operates in my favor, and the other person will end up actually admitting that they are wrong, or apologizing, or saying they know they need to work on it. And then I can exercise patience, because faith worketh by love, and, you know, that patience works, you know, I forgot the scripture, it was right on the tip of my tongue. Faith worketh patience, and then patience, it's in there in Galatians, go get it. But anyway, when you're working in, I had to just say that so I can get to my next point. But, you know, it's in there, though, the patience. You know, faith worketh by love, right? Okay? So, and then let patience have her perfect work. In that, that's how that happens. Because that's what's happening. I'm letting patience have her perfect work. Thank you, Jesus. I knew you, we good like that. So, yeah, you're letting patience have her perfect work with that person because you love them, you know. And it's not always going to be pretty. Sometimes it's going to come out a little crunchy, but over time you can get better. So be patient with yourself is my best advice to you. And I'm not, like I said, I'm not saying don't acknowledge the feelings, because you still acknowledge the feelings, and then sometimes you have to change your behavior if you want a different result. I mean, that's just what it boils down to sometimes. Because for me, if I'm telling someone something over and over and over, okay, so let me look at what am I doing? Am I doing anything to contribute to this? Or, you know, like what? Let me take a step back, you know. Maybe I need to just not say anything for a little bit and give them a chance to change their behavior on their own without me having to say anything. Because sometimes, and for me, that has been most effective, because when you continue to mention it, you're telling them that you don't trust that they even got it the first, second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, the seventh, or eighth time that you told them. And that creates a negative space where it may not motivate them to want to change. So you have, again, it goes back to the fruit of the spirit, you know, the patience. It's, you know, you got to go back to the fruit of the spirit, because when I give my partner the space to correct himself, I am so proud of myself, because I'm like, I didn't say anything and I didn't have to, but because I didn't have to, I gave him the space to do it on his, to show him that I trust that he would. Does that make sense? Or that he would change that behavior, or he would do better in that area. And then I'm able to say, hey, and I acknowledge it. Oh, boy, do I ever. Because it means everything to me. Because he did it voluntarily without me having to say anything. But see, that motivates. And I know when I do the same thing for him, it motivates, when he tells me it's something that he loves that I do, it motivates me to want to do it more and more and more and more. And the same with your mate, with your partner, or even in business, it's the same principle. The same principle applies. When an employee is not doing what they're supposed to do, you know, give them the space to correct the behavior. Now, if they don't, you have to do your, you know, due diligence, you write them up, whatever, whatever, whatever. But there is a
pause
place.
Right there, Tori.
Okay.
Pause right there. I want to jump, let Darren jump in. He's been patiently waiting. Darren, I'm bringing you in 540. You're live. Go ahead and tell us your comment, your question for the show.
Yeah, man. How you doing, Toy? Chris?
Hi there. How are you?
Great, great. I've been listening, and, you know, been on this show a couple of times before, and all that you guys are saying are great, and I try to live by those laws. But, however, I counsel a lot of people. And when you try to put that on their hearts, well, let's just go back to unconditional love, okay?
Right.
Unconditionally, okay? I put that on someone. Then they come back to me and say, well, he molested our daughter. So am I supposed to stay with him or leave? Now, here's a situation, or different situations that we come across. It seems almost impossible for these things to happen.
Right.
So I have to come up with another conclusion.
Well, that's where wisdom. Comes in, because we have to discern whether it's forgiving that person or God saying this relationship, you know, there's a fine line there. I think that's what you're talking about.
Well, yeah, I'm basically saying, you know, I have to come up with a conclusion of the only kind of love that God can give us that we can't give in return to another person is unconditional. When at first I go in and I say, oh, you know, when I first started doing this, it was like, you know, have unconditional love. But then after a long time, and after about 50 counseling sessions with different people, it's like, you know, that's impossible to love someone unconditionally. Because God can only do that. When someone does something to hurt someone, when some man is beating on his wife and he continues to say, I'm sorry, it's like, well, I can't tell her to do that. Or when a woman continuously to cheat on her husband, I can't tell her to do that. Or when a spouse have this condition, bipolar and schizophrenia, and they've taken medicines and medications, and now you can't go to work because you have to watch them all day because you don't trust them with the kids, and you don't trust them in the home, you don't trust them to front. I mean, this real life stuff, when people hit it, the Bible is not the first thing that comes to their mind, even if they're spiritual. So the, my only point in saying that the first thing we do is supposed to think like you're saying, but when real life hit the concrete, it's not always going to land like you're saying it's going to land. Or, I mean, not like you, but to people. Because flesh kick in, mentality kicks in, feelings kick in, all kind of stuff kicks in where the Bible is set to the side. The words from the from God is set to the side. The emotion is it takes priority over the word at these times, and this it can't be helped, even though it can be, but they choose not to allow it to fix them.
And I understand where you're coming from, and I can actually speak to that being one who has survived domestic violence. So what I understand exactly where you're coming from. Now, of course, after I was hit, did I just say, oh, honey, I forgive you? No, I did not. It was, okay, this, you know, it was a totally different situation. But what I can say is, we are no longer together because I love myself first, and I love myself enough to not subject myself to that, which is still an unconditional love for yourself, where you know that you deserve better. And so their unconditional love is not just unconditional love for someone else. It's applying the same love that God has for us to ourselves, because he does love us, and understanding that love that he has for us, that he wants better for us.
Yeah, so
let me say this
great.
To you guys. This is,
go ahead.
There, that's a great point where you guys are going with this, and I want to put this back on track, because I think we're making points for the listeners to hear, and we can vacillate on it could be this way or it could be that way. The purpose of this discussion, I want to be real clear to the listeners that are listening. The purpose is to equip you with some tools that when you are in your sane mind, what you can do and what you should not do. Now, it's up to you whether you grab the Bible or not. We want you to grab the Bible and live the principles. But here's the thing. At the end of the day, you have this thing called a free will. That means you can do what the hell you want to do, when you want to do it, and how you want to do it.
Exactly.
But at the end of the day, you have to give an account for your actions and your behaviors, point blank. I agree with you guys on this. I want to equip the listeners with some basic tools about creating a safer environment, basic tools about, you know, how you have a little higher level of emotional intelligence, so where things come up, that it's not about fight or flight. It's about trying to share the pool and have a dialogue about it. And understand, I'm going to give you a technique now. It's called contrasting. So this is how this sounds when you feel that you're being misunderstood, because I see a couple posts that are out there in social media, and it's talking about the question is, what about the asking for forgiveness? I see you, Alicia. I got you. Boss lady, accountability on the listener. Listen, your job is in communication is when you speak to be understood. Secondly, when you listen to understand. That means you've got to go into this understanding that this person may or may not understand me, that they may or may not. Your job is to convey using the right words that do not attack, that do not accuse, and that do not threaten the other party, so that you can have a safe dialogue that creates an environment so that you can have a discussion. Okay? I hope that makes sense. So here's a tool that you can use. It's titled contrasting. So I don't want for us to get off track here in today's conversation at all. But what want is for us to walk away with a mutual understanding of our purpose in this. Okay, our purpose. I just use contrasting as a toy. That's contrasting.
So, and
you start with saying, I don't want... That's what you don't want. So the other person can...
Right.
You're trying to create a mutual agreement.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
In that.
Mm-hmm.
So wait, I hear
and
you.
Then,
I got an echo on it. Got you.
Okay. Can you hear me now? Is that better?
Yeah, you're fine.
Okay.
Dee, I muted you out. I'll bring you back in.
Okay. Am I back?
Yeah, you're good.
Okay. Awesome. So what I did want to also share that it's not just the speaker, it is the listener too. I alluded to it earlier, but I do want to bring clarity to that. There's responsibility on both parties. There's a receiving end and the speaking end of communication in terms of dialogue. So there's a responsibility of both parties. Once the information is received, that reaction needs to be appropriate as well. Because a lot of times when we receive information as a receiver of information, you know, we're processing, and then sometimes we'll fly off the handle, not me personally, but I just know people who do that. They just, in the name of, that's just who I am, you know. Okay, but that's where, Chris, I'm so happy that you mentioned, you know, we've been talking about the emotional intelligence piece, because in that contrast of, you know, that compare contrast part of that conversation, that's where we need to be able to say, okay, use those I feel statements. I understand. And sometimes I actually repeat what the other person said to make sure I even interpreted it right. Because sometimes there's misinterpretation even in the midst of the what has already been said to us. Does that make sense? Which only creates mm-hmm. more conflict because there is a miscommunication from the beginning. So I'm big on sometimes I'll say, well, let me make sure I understand correctly. So when you said XYZ, are you saying XYZ? Because right then I'm telling you what I have perceived what you shared with me as. That is not what that is. Please clarify for me so I can make sure we're on the same page before I even give my response. But a lot of times we don't even take that one step before we respond to even make sure that what we receive is what we understand.
Say that again. Now, ladies, everyone who posted, I need y'all to hear what she just said. If you all are doing this, I ain't talking to you. If you're not doing this, and I'm talking to the group right now because I see your post in here, this is a critical thing that she just said, and I'm going to unpack this in a different way using the acronym LUV for love. Toy, listen, understand, validate. Say that again for them, please.
Absolutely. Before you respond, make sure you understand what was actually shared with you so that you can intelligently even go forth into the conversation. Ask or get clarity. Make sure that whatever you perceived, whatever you received, is perceived correctly so that you can respond efficiently.
And that's a key tool right there to apply, you know, giving it back to them to make sure you have understanding. What are we saying? What we're saying is that when you get into conversations that can be critical or difficult, this is a tool that you can bring to the table and introduce this. So they may not have this, but you do. So you say, hey, listen, create a boundary. When you get into a conversation, you've got to create a safe environment for yourself. Say, listen, okay, here's a framework. That means you're starting with some level of, it's called strategizing. This is a strategy, and this means we're going to do X, Y, and Z. And we agree early on that if we start to get to a place of impasse, then we're going to agree to put it on park. Those are called creating safe boundaries. That's just a small strategy. And that you can do it, and it's not you walking away from something. You got to come back to it, but you got to come back at a time to where you're truly able to speak to be understood. Because oftentimes, mm-hmm. if you're doing a lot more with your hand gestures, body language, people have to read through all of that, and they got to discern, do I feel safe? And if they don't feel mm-hmm. safe, they won't dialogue with you. And they withdraw and they shut down. I hope that answers the question. So you got to watch your tone. Got to watch your mm-hmm. tone. You got to watch your mannerisms. There are a lot of things in healthy communication that you have to do and be mindful. You know, when I'm having tough conversations, you can't read me unless I want you to read me. You don't know what I'm thinking. I might be thinking I really want to curse you out right now, but you would never know it.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? I could do it. I've been doing it well enough. I've been in different environments. You could not know what I'm doing. That's called emotional intelligence. It's mm-hmm, knowing mm-hmm. where you are from a self-awareness perspective of things and then having some tools to self-manage it. And so I agree with, you know, earlier where we were going, yes, we need forgiveness and all this, but I would say you would need less of that if you had so many tools because who told you? Who taught you? What class did we go to growing up in grade school, going through high school or college that taught us how to deal with these soft skills like this? No class.
Right.
It wasn't
right.
a requirement. So how do you think relationships fail? Because we don't have the tools necessarily, and our flesh and selfishness gets involved in it. And what happens is that it becomes about me. I don't feel I'm getting this. And so what then you start throwing, I call them adult tantrums.
Yeah.
And you're not getting your way, so then you shut down. Listen, we can't do that. We've got to have dialogue and discussion that leads to a healthy conclusion, because if we don't bring resolve, then it resonates. And Toy has mastered for herself how to clear her head and start every day afresh. But I'm believing that there are some people that might be like me. I ain't there yet. So if that be the case, what you want to do is have enough tools to where you can start to say, okay, cool, we're going to use this. I'm going to apply this here. And if that don't work, it's okay. But I tell you what, I bet you when you watch the Super Bowl, now my team's the Steelers. We didn't score any touchdowns the other day. Tracy, I got to talk about our boys, but we didn't score no touchdowns the other day. But guess what? That ain't going to stop us from what we got to do next year. So here's the elephant in the room says, so what? Now what? What you going
right.
to do? Yep, it happened. You got to move on. And so you got to put on your big boy pants, big girl pants, whatever you got to do, and you got to say, okay, we are not going to keep regurgitating on yesterday's news. I asked somebody the other day, I said, when you take out your trash, do you go back to the dumpster to get it? He said,
Come on.
I said, exactly. So why do we keep doing the same thing over and over in relationships inside our head, going back and getting the trash from the past?
Right.
If it's relevant to the day, yes. If it's not, leave it alone. Because old bones unpacked or resurface create problems.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to create more problems than you need. Relationships, in the words of Dr. Parker, he always says this, Johnny Parker says, relationships are hard work. They take work. They require work. But at the end of the day, they're worth the work. And
it's
God
worth
is holding
it.
Us
so worth it.
To a standard. We got to create some standards for ourselves in relationships that, you know, listen, we're going to have mutual respect. We're going to have mutual purpose. We're going to share that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to allow you.
Mm-hmm.
This is called knowing your value. You're not going to disrespect me. You're not going to put your hands on me. You're not going to emotionally abuse me. Those are called standards. That's something that's important, creating a standard and creating a boundary. But if you don't have some of these tools, you're going to self-destruct, because what's going to happen is you don't know where you are or where you're not until you get in your next relationship. Or you go into a new environment in the office and all of a sudden your boss says, hey, you know what, we don't need you for this. And all of a sudden, now what? What you going to do? How are you going to act? Are you going to flip out? Are you going to lose your head? You know, everything doesn't have to be a problem, nor does it have to be problematic.
Right. And that's where you have to go back and refocus and decide, you know, you're not going to major on minor things, that you're going to actually focus on what matters. You're going to control the controllables in the relationship, because some things are part of a person's personality and makeup, and you chose that person, so you knew that that's what you were dealing with. You can't change some parts of the person, because that's just really who they are. And either you're going to accept them for who they are, or you're going to move on. Or the person is going to realize that there's some compromise that needs to be made. And yes, I am this way, but I know that for the sake of this relationship, I'm willing to change. And see, that's when you have, I always say a relationship is not 50-50. It's just not. It's 100-100 plus. Because if everybody's putting in their effort and everybody's putting forth their best foot forward, not the mask, I'm not talking about the mask that you show your best face and then you reveal that that's not really who you are. No, I'm talking about your best self every single day. That's why I do a clean slate, because every day I deserve a clean slate. I'm not perfect either. So I need a clean slate. I should do unto others as I would have them do unto me. So I give people a clean slate because, hey, he needs a clean slate, I need a clean slate. We need to work this out together because this is where we want to be. And if this is where we want to be, then we need to do what we need to do on both sides so that we can look outward together in the same direction.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And that's important to do. And, Toy, I'm going to agree with you there. Now we're going to build on this, and then we can compare. I just gave you the ABCs. So I want to teach you another technique. I just shared with you contrasting. Now when you're in a critical conversation, crucial conversation, or conversation that gets a little spirited, you've got to learn to find common ground. If we can find more agreement and say, you know what, I agree with both of you here. That makes absolutely sense. Now let's build on that. That means I'm not going to tear down what they just said. I'm going to build on that and add value. If you add value to people's lives, to your conversations, to the dialogue, people will agree and build more value with you. But if you attack, degrade, minimize in any way, then it's going to be more of a challenge. So you've got to watch your mannerisms, you've got to watch your tone, and you build, you know, by adding on to it. You know, you can't say never mind. No, never mind that. That's not going to work. You don't build by doing that. You know, and if you're going to compare, you've got to state, like, compare what they're saying to what you're saying in this, and you say, okay, cool. So rather than suggesting he or she is wrong, suggest basically that you differ a little bit. So instead of pronouncing wrong, start with a tentative but candid approach. And I'm reading something out of a book right here, so if y'all know, I want to share this with you. I think I see things differently. I think I see things differently. Let me describe. And that's okay, but here's the thing. It's not saying you're wrong.
No.
And everything, you now, be mindful and then say, but it's different. Be mindful of your approach to say, but it's different, or saying you don't understand or you see it this way. Because it's hard for you to understand what they see and how they feel, because those are your perceptions. Those are not their facts. So when you start to do that, you're trying to control, in a sense, what you can't control. I can't control how Toy interprets what I'm saying. Okay? This goes back to the ladies in the conversation, if they get it or not. I can't control that. What I can control is how I deliver what I'm saying and what I do with what I hear. That's all I can control. And if I feel the conversation is getting out of control, then what it's fair to say is that, hey, listen, I think we can agree to disagree, that we may be at an impasse. Perhaps we should just come back to this at another time when we can agree that we can bring more to the table. Because here's what's happening. If you push a person hard enough, long enough, you will always find a situation more than likely where it'll be fight or flight. Because now they're going to come into a scenario with you saying, can I trust that I'm safe? If I'm talking to Darren, if I'm talking to Toy, and everything becomes a debate, can I trust that I'm safe? Even though they mean well, but can I trust that we can build, we can agree, we can contract, you know, in that environment? And if we can't, where it's always, if it's always confrontational, then we're not going to be willing to share information, and we won't find, again, understanding. Does that make sense?
Yes, perfect sense. Absolutely.
I need y'all to talk back to me, because I'm doing a whole lot of teaching, and if y'all don't realize how much I've been teaching real hard tonight and trying to put
some
things in
practice.
You're doing great. So can I just get an amen or something in a dialogue chat for tonight?
Oh, you're talking about, I was like, you know, I got your back up here. I'm doing amens.
I know. I appreciate you.
I got your high five.
I'm working real hard to break these things down.
You're working real hard.
I appreciate you.
But it's, and the thing about, and the best part about it, you know, once you, and I, well, all the time, you know, practice makes permanent, because we are perfect in Christ, but, you know, we're not always going to get it right. And that's okay. As long as you're trying, that's what really matters. As you're showing forth the effort to make the, you know, make the necessary changes in your tone to be effective in your communication, when you're doing those different steps, you know, you're not always going to remember every single step in your head. Well, you remember them? Not necessarily, but as you practice them in different situations, for me, and I can only speak for myself, what I've done over the past, say, 10 years, because I'm much better. I even did conflict resolution. I did courses, taught and helped to facilitate conflict resolution when I was in college, as a facilitator in different workshops. But the thing for me, I started actually applying them, not just facilitating, you know, but actually applying them to my real life situations. And it was when I actually started applying them consistently, as each situation would come, Because, you know, in business you have conflict resolution. In personal relationships there's conflict resolution. As a parent, I have conflict resolution with my child. We don't always agree on everything, that even though I rule and I'm the queen of the house, but she does not always obey. She's not perfect, you know. So there still comes, again, conflict resolution. And what I have learned is that there are effective ways in each situation, which is unique, which is has its own dynamic. In each of those situations, you learn through practice, you learn to perfect the skill and the art of conflict resolution.
That's
and
it.
So,
and Toy, so well stated. I just want to jump in there because it's football time right here, and I got to use a little analogy with that. This is a critical time right here for, you know, we played for the NFC and the AFC champions. So the New England Patriots are going to meet up against, you know, the best team from the NFC, which is the Atlanta Falcons. And so each team has rehearsed, you know, they've rehearsed their parts. They know how to run their routes. My question to you is, are you, if they had called on you to come in at the last minute, would you be ready to run your route? Have you practiced enough of the basics so they said, you know what, we want to draft you as a free agent? Would you be able to step up and answer the call? Better than that, if God gives you another challenge, because, you know, when God gives us a test, he's always quiet in the midst of the test. The teacher's usually never talking during the test. He's always silent. So God is always witnessing and watching to see what you're going to do and how you're going to handle your next scenario. So, are you going to curse her out? Are you going to talk about your boss in front of, you know, back behind his back and everybody else? Or are you going to show a certain level of maturity now that you've got some different tools because you're ready, your number's called, and now you're ready to run your route? All I want to do tonight with Toy, we wanted to help give you some basic tools. Now, this stuff goes a lot deeper than some of the things that we talked about tonight. There's some how-tos of doing it in that, you know, we can talk about offline or whatever. But these are some things that if you don't deal with conflict, conflict is going to deal with you. And if you don't understand your why, your what's going to take you out. Know your
That's
why. Remember what I talked about, your purpose. Don't lose sight of your purpose in the midst of your problem, and don't lose sight of God's promise that he gave you, because he will give you provisions.
Yes.
He will give you provisions. You just got to stay the course. And, there are things that will come up, but stay the course. Run the race.
Oh, my gosh.
And don't be so
concerned
with comparing. We were talking about salt at the leadership conference that I went to, and notice that there are different types of salt, okay? And so, but here's the thing about it is, like, if you see somebody else, another couple or another person, they just doing their thing, don't be jealous, because salt's never jealous of other types of salt.
Right.
Did you hear me? Salt ain't ever jealous, whether it's table salt, whether it's rock salt, it ain't ever jealous. You ain't got to be jealous because God gave you a purpose too. All you got to do is run the course, run your race, and you will finish. Just don't give up. That's all I want to say.
That's right.
Just don't
That's
give up.
That's right.
So any closing comments? I like that. Tracy
said
it's still just salt.
I love it. I love it too. I just want to definitely go back to remembering to go back to a place of love, right? I call it hashtag live love daily. When you do that, you're able to have the right perception, be able to receive the information, be able to respond because your heart place is in the right place. Your heart space is in the right place. And when that happens, you're able to be more clear. I call it, you know, 50 shades of clarity, because a lot of times when you're dealing with communication, when you're not clear, that's when you mess everything up. Because there is no clarity. There is no 2020 vision. You're not looking outward in the same direction together. Find your common ground. Do not give up. If it's really what you want, you know, at the end of the day, it all goes back to love. Do you love that person? If that answer is still yes, then you work it out. Point blank. Period. Amen.
Amen. There you go. Hey, I'm hearing something that I'm not sure. Y'all can tell me if y'all want to do this next week. But in this thing, I'm hearing something, and my pastor just touched on this when he was dealing with Cain and Abel, where, you know, God said to Abel, Well, he rejected Cain's offering and he accepted Abel's offering. But then Cain got jealous of Abel, so he killed him. And he was talking about his heart. I think we need to kind of go in on the heart, matters of the heart. Because in the questions, they tell me, and look, our heart is where sin is originated. We see it with our eye gate and our ear gate. So I think next week's show, I think we're going to talk about matters of the heart. So, you know, I'm gonna get my research and do a little homework on this from a biblical perspective. But I want to probably phrase the question is your heart ready for a relationship? Is your heart ready for a relationship?
So good. Oh, I will be there.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing right now. Because I hear a lot of heaviness in hearts, and I'm deeply concerned because I think that
we think we're good,
but yet when we get connected to something, we'll see. Sometimes you pray for what you want, but then when you get it, you'll destroy it.
Right.
A 4-year-old can't drive a car legally. Now, if mom and daddy let him drive the car, sometimes you can get the gift before you're ready to handle the blessing.
That's right.
I want to make sure the heart's ready before the blessing comes. So this is for all the single fellas, all the single ladies, and if you're in a relationship right now, next week's subject, we're going to deal with matters of the heart. Is your heart ready for a relationship? Well, there you
That's
have
so
it.
That's so good.
That's the topic. Yeah, that was
I love it.
That was heavy.
I love it.
That was heavy.
And
well, folks,
I did
we thank
to
you all tonight.
Go ahead. I was going to say, before we go, I did want to comment in the feed about deflecting. When people deflect, redirect. When someone's deflecting in the conversation, be sure to redirect because, you know, that's their defense mechanism, but you can still help to lead. Sometimes you have to lead with love, and you have to go ahead and bring it back to center. And say, I care enough about us so that we can still deal with this. And it's still here, and it's not going anywhere. So I did want to quickly address that question in the feeds.
Love it. Well, we got this posted now in there, and that's what we're going to do for next week. Listen, tune into the replay. If you share it with friends and neighbors who weren't on the show tonight, I pray that something that was said, because I dropped a lot of little nuggets in here. If you just go back and listen to them, I'm certain they will help you if you start to practice right. And, you know, and that will help smooth things out a little bit more so that when your plane takes off, you don't always have to experience turbulence on every trip. Okay. Well, that's all I have for tonight. I want to thank you guys for listening. Family out there on the listening audience, dialing in. Darren, thanks for your comments and sharing as well. Toy, thank you as always for being present with me the entire time. And for all those who were posting in the chat group, I really appreciate you guys. So thank you. Tune in next week's show. We're going to deal with, is your heart ready for a relationship? Matters of the heart. All right. God bless and good night.
Good night, everyone.